I'm standing on the deck of the fishing vessel Defiant, moored in Eliason Harbor. Captain Justin Peeler is showing me how the rigging works and why exactly they call it purse seining.
So on our boom is the power block. It pulls the net in evenly. We try to pull it in evenly and, you know, like I said, shrink that bowl up or shrink that purse up until we're just to the fish, and then we bring them on board.
Below the rigging is a massive black net that will make up the purse when Peeler and his crew of four haul in a set of herring. Piled high, it's taller than me and as wide as the boat.
Well, when it's wet, it's pretty heavy, but I would guess that it weighs I would say 8,000 pounds or something like that.
The Sitkin has been fishing in the Sacro herring fishery with his family for over two decades, and the Defiant hasn't missed the fishery since it was built 42 years ago. It's one of 20 vessels participating this year, and it's an unusual time in its history. The fishery didn't open last year or the year before, largely because fish have been too young and small for their eggs to be marketable abroad. But this year, the state is predicting a record-breaking biomass of fish, which they say should be closer to marketable size. Matt Kinney runs the fishing vessel Hukilau. He says the state's forecast lines up with what he's seeing out on the water. Very large schools of fish, some in deep waters 50 to 60 fathoms below the surface, made visible with sounding and sonar equipment.
And we're doing our best as fishermen to document and try to show the public what's out there, because unlike, you know, the other species we fish, if you weren't out there looking at them through electronics, you wouldn't know that they're there.
The large anticipated biomass has led state biologists to set a guideline harvest level of over 33,000 tons of herring. Peeler says the fleet likely won't catch that much. He says the GHL isn't the same as a quota, and they don't have the processing capacity to reach that mark.
It takes freezers to freeze these things, and there is only a window of 6 to 7 days, a week, 10 days if we're lucky, or something like that, that the herring are marketable, that the roe reaches the quality that they are. It's not that we can't fish them and we can't catch them and they're not there. It's that we're not going to harvest something that is not marketable.
Peeler says this year the seiners are working together a little more closely. Though state biologists consider the fishery competitive, groups of fishermen are partnering with specific processors to harvest what they need.
Is it a co-op in the word that we've used co-op before in this fishery? No. Are the fishermen working together to do this as efficiently as possible? Yes. You know, we're not going to see a lot of the YouTube video highlights, but we're still out there to try to catch what our companies need.
Cooperative or competitive, no herring fishery for 2 years has been a huge strain on the fleet and Peeler and Kenny's businesses.
It's forced me to change my business. It's affected me. You know, sure, I do multiple fisheries in Southeast Alaska, but I bought into the Defiant 7 years ago. You know, with that comes a big bill. Every fishery counts. I mean, I wouldn't buy this boat just to fish salmon. I wouldn't buy this boat just to fish herring.
Permits can be anywhere right now from $190,000 to $250,000 over the past 6 years. The payments don't go away, you know, so of course we love this fishery, and we kind of based a big plan on it that it's going to be here for a long time, you know, and it's in our best interest to keep it going.
Both Peeler and Kinney participate in other fisheries, and those fisheries have helped their businesses weather the off years for herring. But only with the combination of several fisheries can most fishing businesses sustain themselves long term. State management of the herring fishery has been the subject of ongoing litigation in the courts for over 2 years now, with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska arguing that subsistence harvests of herring roe are not being properly addressed. Both Kinney and Peeler say they want the stocks to survive and subsistence harvesters to meet their needs, but they also want the fishery to continue. Peeler says the permits and equipment are meant to be lasting, not temporary.
Matt's a little younger than me, and we have, you know, 20, 30 more years of this ahead of us, and our boats, our gear, our permits, and all that stuff is made to go on. It's not made to just be here for once or twice and talk about our big catch. We want these biomasses of herring or salmon or blackout or whatever we're fishing to keep going.
Kenny says that's one of the biggest misconceptions about seiners, that they're not concerned about the longevity of the herring. He says that they do care. They just trust that the state is regulating the fishery responsibly.
People just feel like we have one thing on the brain, and that's harvesting, and that's just not the case. You know, we're harvesting what we think the stock can handle, and all that is set by Alaska Department of Fish and Game. You know, they put those quotas out there to harvest what the fishery can handle. They're not affiliated with processors or fishermen, and it feels like people are undermining science, which is truly the last thing that we have.
And biology will determine when the herring fishery ends as well. Regardless of how much of this year's guideline harvest level of 33,000 tons is landed over the next few days, once the herring begin to spawn along the coastline of Sitka Sound, it's game over, even for this year's small but determined herring seine fleet. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.